Let me ask you, I know one of you has a cast on this morning. If God forbid, instead of just severing something within your body, if you had lost your hand, would you still be you? Would you still be you without a hand? You would be. I can answer that. You would be. If you had lost a whole arm, you'd still be you. If you'd lost both arms, you'd still be you. If you lost your arms and your legs, you'd still be you. Good, it's going. I forgot to turn it on. You and I are not our bodies. Now, we're pretty attached to them. All right? We care about our bodies. Our bodies are important. But we are not our bodies. We live in our bodies. And one day, we will no longer live in these bodies. These bodies will die, and we will still exist one way or the other. We'll either go to heaven or we'll go to hell. But our body will be done for. It'll be like a seed that gets planted in the ground and something new comes out because there's a resurrection coming. And so this body is not who we are. It's simply where we live. We live in this body. And the Bible talks about the time when this earthly tent, this dwelling place, our bodies, will be set aside and will no longer be living in this body. There will be new bodies in the resurrection. You can read more about that in 1 Corinthians 15. But, you know, you're more, a lot more, than just your body. You also have emotions. How many of you know what emotions are? They're your feelings, right? That's an old song. But feelings are important, and you all have them. Every one of us has feelings. Some people try and deny their feelings. They're not in touch with their feelings. I've had people say, I am not angry. And, you know, it's like, well, yes, you are. I've had people who just found it very difficult to admit what they were feeling because they didn't like their feelings. And so instead of saying, I'm having feelings that I don't like, they just tried to pretend they weren't having those feelings. That doesn't work very well. It's a little like trying to hold an air mattress down at the bottom of the pool. Okay? It keeps wanting to do this. And your feelings will come to the surface one way or another. They'll manifest. But in addition to having your body and in addition to having emotions, you are a spiritual being. You are a spiritual being. You don't just have a spirit. Ultimately, I believe it is accurate to say that you are a spirit being who has emotions living in a physical body. So you are spiritual, you are emotional, you are physical. And I'm going to remind you of something else this morning. You also can be described as volitional. Volitional? Yeah. What does that word mean? Volitional means that you have a will. You are, I think George Bush called it the decider. You make decisions about what you're going to do with your body, about what you're going to do with your emotions, and that is made ultimately in that spirit realm. It's not just your mind. You decide whether you're going to give your body control or whether you're going to let your emotions control or whether you're going to let God's spirit control. Now, ultimately, God is the one who is in charge of everything. But I want you to understand, particularly those of you who are Christians, who know Jesus, and I realize that's not all of you, but those of you who know the Lord, who really have received new life in Christ, now His Spirit is living in you, living His life through you, you need to know that you have a responsibility and an ability by God's grace to make a decision about whether your emotions are going to be in control, whether your body's going to be in control, or whether you're going to do what God says. I want to direct you, first of all, to a passage in the Old Testament, book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, which is the book of songs, the Psalms are songs. In Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Here is a picture of a man who knew that God is good, but he wasn't feeling so good. Listen to God's word. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with a multitude leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep and the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, folks, there is a lot more in this passage than we can deal with this morning, and I'm actually hoping we're going to look at a couple of other passages too. But the thing that I want you to see in this passage is that here is a man who knew how to talk to himself the right way. When I was a kid, there was an expression going around that the first sign of insanity is talking to yourself. Well, I would suggest to you that that is an insane proposition. That is absolutely untrue. Everybody talks to themselves. The question is whether or not you're telling yourself the truth. If you're telling yourself the truth, that is very sane. If you're telling yourself things that aren't true, you're believing a bunch of lies, and that'll make you crazy. Okay? So everybody talks to themselves. Everybody. I don't talk to myself. You're doing it right now. Okay? When you say, I don't talk to myself, who are you talking to? We all talk to ourselves. But some people tell themselves the truth, and some people tell themselves lies. Now, you're not the only one who talks to you. Other people talk to you, and believe it or not, God's word is speaking to you. And you have an adversary, the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies, and he will talk to you and tell you things that are not true and that you should not listen to. When you get thoughts from the enemy, the Bible tells us we are to take every thought captive to the lordship of Christ. And if you don't learn to do that, you're going to be misled. You're going to go in the wrong direction. But if you learn to evaluate the thoughts that you get and check them with Scripture, you will learn what's true, what's false, and you're to believe that which is consistent with Scripture and reject the lies of the enemy. This guy, several times in these two psalms, demonstrates what we need to do. He expresses his emotions. He talks about what he's feeling. He says, he's thirsting for God. My soul pants for you, God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? In other words, even though I'm longing to connect with God, I feel disconnected. My tears, verse 3, have been my food day and night. That tells you two things. One is loss of appetite. Number two, he can't stop crying. Most of us would say this guy's depressed. He is. But in his depression, he realizes that what he needs is God. And he begins to remember how wonderful it was when he was experiencing corporate worship, meeting with God's people to worship the living God. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Now that tells us something about corporate worship.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing.
Good morning. We're really glad that you're here this morning, and we hope that the joy of the Lord will transform your life even as it has transformed ours. I cannot begin to tell you how glad I am that when I was headed for hell, that which I truly deserve, God chose to intervene and rescue me and give me eternal life. This fills me with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Some of you may not see the glory, but you can tell that my joy is something I cannot express. Worship, as described in the Psalms, is this joyful celebration. It is a happy thing that God has come into human history, turned everything around, and instead of giving us the wrath that we deserve, he poured that out on his Son so that we could have the life and the blessedness that he deserves. Wow! Praise God! This is great! We ought to be celebrating. Got it? So he says, I remember that, but I'm not feeling it. Okay? I remember what it is to be joyfully celebrating the grace of God. But at the present time, I'm so depressed, I can't eat. I'm just crying all the time. This is terrible. So he doesn't stop there. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will just feel sorry for myself. No. Therefore, I will remember you. He says, I'm going to deliberately think about God and the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the kindness of God. I'm going to meditate on that which I know is true. And then he's honest with God. He appeals to God. Look at verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me. Now, this two things happening here. One is he's being honest about what he's feeling. Two is the Holy Spirit is expressing through him a picture of what Jesus is going to go through. This is a messianic passage. My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me. All the scriptures ultimately point to Jesus, but folks, I want you to understand something. You and I, from time to time, share in a minute and momentary way in the sufferings of Christ. None of us have ever suffered or will ever suffer to the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf. He bore the wrath of God for us. But when we go through difficulties, we have the opportunity to connect with him in his suffering. As Paul says to the Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection. Verse 11, here's where he talks to himself. Here's where he tells himself what he needs to know. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Verse 5 of 43. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Sometimes when I'm tending to feel a little like Puddle Glum or Eeyore, I just have to say to myself, what are you doing? Why are you so downcast? Don't you get the big picture? Don't you understand what Jesus Christ did for you? Any problem you've got is going to be over eventually. And all the things that God has prepared for you are going to be yours forever. So the problems I have are all temporary problems. How many of you have been to the dentist? Okay? Aren't dentists wonderful? I love dentists. They keep our mouths healthy. But you know, I don't really enjoy it when they're drilling. I don't even really enjoy it when they're cleaning my teeth. Except for the fact that I know it's going to be over eventually. If I thought I was going to have to spend the next 30 years sitting in a dentist chair going, I would want to die sooner. Okay? But the fact is, when I'm going through that momentary discomfort, I'm realizing that this is not going to last forever. Folks, whatever problem you got, it's not going to last forever. You understand? Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your problems are going to be a lot worse, and they will last forever. Okay? If you, oh, this is just hell on earth. Well, actually, no. Okay? Hell's going to be a whole lot worse than anything anybody experiences in this life. Oh, you don't know what I've been through. I don't really have to know what you've been through. Hell is going to be a whole lot worse than anything anybody goes through in this life. And therefore, people who reject the gospel are making the biggest mistake in the universe. But folks, if you know Jesus Christ, you're going to spend forever in a place where there is no suffering, no pain, no sorrow, no parting, no goodbyes. It's going to be glorious, and every tear is going to be wiped away by God himself. It will be perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect fellowship forever. Glory. It's going to be wonderful. I'm excited. I look forward to it. Now, I think I'm going to get to stay here on earth a while longer. I think so. God's given me a sense that there's some things he wants me to do, and I'm looking forward to it. But let me tell you, if I got that part wrong and I go home today, I'm not going to be saying, oh, wait, I love East Tennessee. Okay. I do love East Tennessee, but it's not heaven. Okay? It is not heaven. Oh, you know, Pastor, it's just heaven on earth. Well, no, actually not. We stopped at a fruit stand on the way to Florida. And I said, you know, well, you know, what are your tomatoes like? It's just heaven in your mouth. It wasn't. The things in this life are not worth comparing to the things that await us, whether it is the sorrows or the joys. That which God has prepared for us is beyond what we can comprehend. It is glorious. It is wonderful. And in light of that, we need to tell ourselves, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, that said, learning to tell yourself the truth, learning how, when you're down, to be honest about what you're feeling, but don't stop there. Go ahead and make your behavior be based on what you know from the truth of God's word. Let me give you a couple of passages. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. What this passage tells us is that we can actually choose what we're going to think about.
Oh, no, I just can't. My thoughts just come unbidden.
Well, bid some others come. Okay? You can't prevent certain things from popping into your head, but you can. If you are a Christian, you can choose what you're going to focus on. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. You hear that?
I just can't find peace.
Well, you can. If you know Christ, there is peace in Him. And His peace will guard you. It'll guard your mind. It'll guard your heart. It'll change you and protect you, and you'll be transformed by the work of God. But do we have any responsibility in that? Yes. It says so right here. First of all, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice.
Well, I don't want to be hypocritical, and I'm not feeling very joyful today.
Oh, it does not say feel joyful. It does not say feel joyful.
Well, good, because I just don't.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to feel joyful, but you need to rejoice. What? What does that mean, to rejoice? It means that you begin to express gratitude to God for what He's done for you. You celebrate deliberately, volitionally, using your will. You deliberately celebrate the goodness of God and what He's done for you. My grandmother suffered horribly and was an invalid for years, but she was continually joyful, singing songs of praise in the midst of her worst times of pain. So, let me tell you, I've seen the saints who rejoiced in suffering. Paul, writing to the Philippians, knows that these folks remember the story of how their church got started. Because the apostle Paul got beaten in Philippi, his back laid open, total violation of his rights. It was totally illegal. He had rights as a citizen, and they were being violated. And he was physically tortured and then thrown into prison and put in the innermost cell, which was the stinkiest part of the prison. And he had his hands and his ankles fastened so that he couldn't move. And at midnight, unable to sleep, in physical pain, knowing that he had been treated completely illegally and unjustly and immorally, he sang.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
No, that wasn't the song. He sang praises to God. Praises to God. He deliberately chose to praise the Lord because God is worthy of praise. Whatever we're going through, God is great and greatly to be praised. And as he praised the Lord, an earthquake came. Now, would you like an earthquake? I mean, if we were sitting here right now and you're saying, how much longer is he going to go on? And then all of a sudden the building started to shake and fall down around us? Would you say, praise the Lord, look. Okay, Paul is doing the right thing in a tough situation, and there's no indication in the text that an angel came in and said, Paul, Silas, listen, I've been sent by the Lord, I'm Gabriel, and just wanted to give you a heads up. We're about to have an earthquake here, and the building's going to kind of fall down, but you won't get injured. Everything's going to be okay, and in fact, you're going to get to lead the jailer and his family to the Lord tonight. It's going to be a good night before it's over. But just wanted to give you a heads up. Just wait a few minutes, and you'll feel things start to rumble and shake. And don't be worried at all. It's going to be fine. No, there's no hint of anything like that in the text. Instead, these guys are praising God because, you know, what else can go wrong? And, oh, earthquake. I hadn't thought of that. You know, sometimes we're like the bumper sticker that says, people told me cheer up, things could be worse. So I cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. Right? That happens. But even when that happens, God's working it all for our good. God's working it all for our good.
So you're saying things could get worse?
Oh yeah, they could get lots worse. Okay? But no matter what happens, all the sad stuff is temporary for believers and just a prelude for unbelievers. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're going to be fine. No matter what happens, you're going to be fine. If you get sick, you're going to be fine. If you get injured, you're going to be fine. If you get killed, you're going to be fine. So don't ever be afraid.
But sometimes I feel fear.
That's okay. It's all right to feel fear, but don't let your feelings control you. Instead, you need to let God's Word and His Spirit control you so that you do what God says you're supposed to do, regardless of how you feel. Are you feeling really joyful? Well, then rejoice. Are you feeling really down? Well, then rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Not only that, do not be anxious about anything. That means don't worry about anything. What, me worry? There's nothing to worry about.
So, oh no, Pastor, you don't understand. Have you not been paying attention to what's happening to the world economy? Have you not seen the signs of trouble here in our own economy? And some guy keeps coming on the radio and saying that he's warned people about bad stuff to come and it always happens. And he told people about the good things that would happen and they happened. Now he's telling us something really bad is about to happen.
Well, I haven't been to the website and I haven't ordered the video because I really don't care. You know why? Because I've got a job to do, and regardless of what happens, I'm going to be okay as long as I'm walking in obedience.
Oh, but a righteous man sees trouble coming and he takes shelter.
I've taken shelter. My shelter is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my rock, my sword, my shield. I am fine, thank you very much. Whatever else happens, I'm going to be okay. What if an earthquake comes? Well, then I'll either die or live. Yeah, but you might get injured. Yes, I might. And if so, God is going to use that for His glory and my good. Don't be afraid. Be anxious for nothing.
Pastor, I have seen that you're a little concerned about germs.
Yeah, well, I admit it. But I don't worry about them. I just use hand sanitizer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. That's what you're supposed to be thinking about. So,
I'd like to watch a video.
I don't know why we call them that, because they're not on tape anymore. They're now on DVD.
I'd like to watch a DVD, please.
Okay, let's see if we can find one that is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Maybe, you know, a travelogue about the Alps. I'll just tell you this. Most of the stuff that's being produced as entertainment these days doesn't meet this test. And if you eat junk food, you're not going to be healthy. And if you fill your mind with junk stuff, Your thoughts are not going to be what they should be. Your feelings are going to be bent in the wrong direction. It's going to make it harder for you to do what God says you're supposed to be doing instead of making it easier for you. So feed yourself on good stuff.
Are you saying we can't watch anything except Christian videos?
No, I wouldn't watch a lot of Christian videos.
What are you saying?
I'm saying whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things.
So that means no more stuff that's secular.
No, I didn't say that. I said that the measuring tape by which you gauge is this good or not good should be whether it's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. That's what you ought to be thinking about. Okay? So start feeding yourself good stuff. Don't make a list of all the foods you can't have. Start making sure to eat the stuff you're supposed to eat that's good for you. And start filling your mind with what is true.
Well, where can I find what's true?
Hey, Bible's a great place to start. Okay?
Okay. Well, whatever is noble.
That means, as he says here, praiseworthy. Okay? Something that is good, that is pure, that is lovely, that is admirable. There's stuff like that that's not in the Bible. But the Bible gives us a clue as to whether or not it measures up to that standard. In other words, what our culture calls lovely is not necessarily lovely. Models a few years back were following in a trend called heroin chic. Okay? They all looked like they could be blown away by a puff of wind, and they had dark circles under their eyes. And that was considered very fashionable by people who are not attracted to members of the opposite sex. And I'm just telling you, if you take your clue from culture as to what lovely is, you're following a bunch of perverts. Instead, you need to look at what God says. And let me tell you, pure, noble, fit with lovely. Okay? Impure, lustful, sensual, that's not lovely. Got it? Rejoicing, that's lovely. So if the model's looking at the camera like, not lovely, stupid, vacuous, okay? But if somebody looks joyful, the way God created us to be, that's lovely. That's beautiful. I'm telling you, we need to start measuring by God's standard. Whatever is pure, right, noble, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he says, we ought to be an example for others. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace, you'll not only have the peace of God, you'll have God himself. The God of peace will be with you. That's glorious. That is absolutely wonderful. God himself will be with you. Now, there's more I want to say about this, and hopefully I will tomorrow. But I want you to know, folks, there are going to be all kinds of things every day, every week, every month, all year, every year. There are going to be all kinds of things that will try and pull you in the wrong direction. And if you are not careful, you will be dragged down in your thought life, in your feelings, and you've got to use your will, your volition, to cling to what God says is important and right and noble and true. And if you will rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again, rejoice. If you will do that, you will discover that God's peace will carry you through the difficulty. And that's what you need to do. But if you're filling your mind, anybody here ever heard a song that basically had a bad message to it? Don't listen to that stuff anymore.
Say, well, I can't help it. It comes on the radio.
Change the station. You understand? I have to change it off the Christian station sometimes. Because, I'm sorry, you don't have to like the same genres of music that I like. But if a singer sounds like a cat with somebody standing on their tail, that's not lovely. Doesn't fit the definition. Ah! You know, it's just not, that's not lovely. Don't go for that. Melody, harmony, purity, beauty. That's what God celebrates in His Word. Oh, like drums. Well, apparently God does too. There's a percussion session described in the Old Testament.
Really? God likes drums?
Well, it depends on how you play them. Oh, you want the boom, boom, ba-dum, ch, boom, boom, ba-dum, ch. No. There's not just one style that's acceptable. But is it lovely? Does the art express the beauty of what God has created? Or is it a postmodern picture of meaninglessness? That life is ugly. Some of the stuff that is out there called art is nothing of the kind. If I throw up on a plate of glass and then spray it with some kind of shellac to make it stick and put that in a frame and say, I call it inside on the outside. There are people in our culture who would go, wow, I never thought of doing that. Well, that's totally not just stupid, it's evil. Okay? But there, I'm telling you, you say, ooh, gross, I can't believe he'd use such an example. There's worse hanging in museums in the United States. Okay? And people who think that they're intelligent are going, oh my word, that is so real. Well, yeah, it's real. It's real disgusting. Okay? Don't be impressed by what the world calls beautiful. Don't be impressed by what the world calls intelligent. Thinking themselves wise, they became fools. Whatever's noble and pure and right and lovely, what's praiseworthy, that is what you need to fill your mind with. That's what you need to think about. That's what you need to feed on. And when you feel down, have a good talk with yourself and tell yourself the truth. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Hope in God. I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice.